This is a moment in Wine and Hip Hop, brought to you by Crew Love, blending wine and hip hop at the highest level.
Wine and hip hop, wine and music.
Yeah, what's good, y'all? It's your man, Jermaine Showtime Stone, a.k.a. the Wolf of Wine, a.k.a. the Czar of Vibes, a.k.a. Young Thanos, because I'm just out here collecting Infinity Stones. You already know what's going on, man. Your boy is active, man. We super active outside. If y'all paying attention to the YouTube and the Instagram, I'm sure that you have enjoyed this influx of content that we have been releasing. There's never been a time that we have released this much content. So as you can see, we've been stacking the clip over the summer. So I'm very, very excited for this time. There's a lot of new things happening. And ultimately, I feel like we're dropping our best work right now. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure y'all saw our footage that we shot out in Sardinia. Shout out to Sella and Mosca. I'm sure you saw the footage that we shot out in Champagne. Shout out to Piper Heitzik. And there's a lot more, you know. But really, this time right here is special for me because I feel like it's the vision being realized. You know, the vision is really coming to fruition right now. It's amazing to see, man. It's amazing to see. Sometimes you just jump outside. You don't really know what the end of it is going to look like. You just following what you know. And that's what I've been doing. So it's amazing to see how far we've come. You know, this here is a two-part episode. So this is episode 98 and 99. So we right up there on 100. And I promise you, I got something very, very special for y'all at episode 100. So if you're hearing this one before you see it on the timeline, just know I'm clipping up. But today's guest is one of the heroes of my childhood, somebody that I listened to a lot when my lyrical style was developing. Today's guest is my dog, Cannabis. Now, I mean, if you love hip hop and you know hip hop and you know that golden era, mid-90s, then you know Cannabis, man. And this dude was a dangerous, dangerous man. He had a lot that happened within his career. The guy was known for battling some of the greats. He was known for going chest to chest with LL Cool J, you know, and he was just a guy that was just, his style was so aggressive. Everybody wanted a piece of him, man. And, you know, for this interview, and you know, you can hear this intro and tell how important Cannabis was and is to me as an artist. But I wanted to attack things differently for this interview. Often people can ask him stuff about what happened and this and that, but here we have a chance to get into the mind of one of the most complex rappers of all time. You know, Cannabis style was so scientific, you know, so complex. He has so many things happening, a lot of different flows, crazy vocabulary, wild wordplay, you know, and all of it working at one time. So in this episode, Complex Wines, Complex Rhymes, once again, we bringing that back, but with the king of Complex Wines, Cannabis. So what I did, this is one of those episodes where if you are a rap nerd, you are gonna enjoy hearing the insight in the mind of Cannabis. But if you're a wine nerd, you're gonna enjoy to hear how this interesting art, how these amazing lyrics match complexity, how the complexity in wine matches the complexity in hip hop. And if you don't know Cannabis, you're gonna get to know a cool, deep, hilarious individual, man. I really had a great time during this interview. Shout out to my dog Cannabis. You know, we hit it off instantly. And you know, this is a brother, you know, last time we chopped it up on the phone, we was talking for 2 hours, man. You know, so that's my brother right there, Cannabis, man. Once again, thank you for the interview. I'm not gonna do another intro for the next episode, man. This is episode 98 and 99, Complex Wines, Complex Rhymes, featuring the inspiration for my love for hip hop, Cannabis.
You know what I'm saying? Because of how much you mean to the culture, and just this, so, yo, bro, so many people's pen work. Like, this shit was, on the, it was like you was an alien, bro. Like real, like Lil Wayne was that, like you was really an alien for real. Like,
yo, I'm faster than leopards running across the vast desert at 22 yards per second to catch me. The deli delicatessen takes me 30 minutes to eat them, 40 minutes to digest them, and 50 minutes for it to pass through my intestines. So ask yourself a question: can a cannabis rhyme? Is a porcupine half swine? No time to make up your mind. You wanna run or die? Clip you while you're running by, trip you up from behind.
So let me ask you, like, your style was so dynamic, left field, all of these different elements that we talked about in complexity. You fucking hit a 50 out of 10 on those, right? So my question is, who was it that inspired you? And like, what spark said, like, yo, this how I'm a rap now?
Okay, so initially, right, like, you know, being Jamaican, right, that's the island that I was born. Reggae music, DJing was the ultimate form of expression there for artisans, right? Now, of course, before that, you know, you had instrumentalists, everybody, you know, it'd be your son, you know what I mean? And they doing it steel plan or whatever, different stuff, right? And I wouldn't say that at least my peer group, they weren't classically trained. These were talents. You know? Right. People come with the talent, they got rhythm, and they're just born with it, right? But you know, after coming to the States, I was blessed to have, you know, attended a school called Ebrook Lee. It's in Montgomery County in Silver Spring. And of course, you know, as usual, you know, my mama, she didn't, you know, my grandmama, we never lived in the zip code that I went to school in. They always
went
to the wrong zip code.
Had somebody else's address on there? Shout to Uncle Carl. I did not live on Edson Avenue.
That's how you know they love us. They love us because they wanted us to get the best education that we could. Public school education, right? So they move you to a zip code that was a little bit above the average, or as much above the average as you could, in another tax bracket, right? And so that means, like, you get home later, there's a lot more to even get to school. And so at Ebrook Lee at the time, our music instructor, her name was Miss Olivia Gutoff. And, you know, I got to say shout out to Miss Gutoff, wherever she's at. Like, Miss Gutoff was an angel to me because I played the bass clarinet. At the time, it wasn't easy to just go rent one. Right, I mean, you could go get one, but the budget wasn't and so it was like, you know, what do you want for Christmas? You want to play your bass clarinet, or do you want these, you know, these new Converse from Kmart? Just got the tying together. Yeah, you got to find your size. I couldn't even get to the Nikes, man. Yeah, that was the Converse, Zares, Kmart. You know what I'm saying? And not the disc Converse, because I took them because those were the best ones.
Those
that
was
I could
you,
get.
Yeah. You know those was the working man's. Yeah, that was when you was on the come up, like my fair share.
But the Converse come. The Converse come with a bottle of white. Out. You know what I'm trying to say?
You got what? Now you.
Yo, don't let me get started. So Miss Gutoff, the budget wasn't there, but that's not something that you wear on your sleeve or your shirt. You get up, you go to school, whatever cards you dealt with, you know what I'm saying, you wear it.
Yeah.
And Miss Gutoff must have sent something. She had a bowl cut. I think she's German. She's definitely European. And Miss Gutoff, you know, even down to the way she dressed and her style and everything, she was all about this music, man. Composers, this classical music, this band, like, Miss Gutoff jumped rope any which way when it came to rhythm, octave, scale, pitch. She could play any instrument. She knew how every instrument was supposed to be played. Brass, woodwind, strings, I mean, you name it, man. Percussion, like, Miss Gutoff was an absolute savant with it, right? So, but of course, I wouldn't have known that at that age. It's just that we used to see her. She used to smack us on the hand when our timer was off with the composer's little staff.
Right.
So she was serious. You understand what I'm saying? And so looking back on it, you know, I get a little bit emotional about it, thinking about how, you know, we come over to her home to play, to play scales. And like if school wasn't there, like if it was on the weekend or something. And she had a nice little study. We was all in there. And Miss Gutoff went in her closet one of these evenings, and because it was like half a dozen of us there, Miss Gutoff went in that closet and she came out with a bass clarinet in the case and brought it to me. She opened it up, and I opened it, and it was like a, it was it was classic. Like, I know it's been played before, but I mean, I provide my own read for it, but it was like, it had the chrome on it for the keys, you know, bass clarinet, man. And she gave it to me so I could continue to play in the class because I couldn't afford one, right? So, you know, that's the beginning of my rhythm. Because Gutolf was so in addition to having a gift, Gutolf honed that gift with the rhythm. Because she, gotcha. and two for two
so
years.
So like if your rhythm was off,
bam,
so
everybody.
Now that's where the flow comes in. It's like.
Don't miss it.
The time, wow, that's crazy.
Don't even need the drums, don't need the metronome, don't need nothing. So rhythm, right? Yeah. And then in terms of, like, I'm pitch correct, even though my style has nothing to do with much melody. But I'm pitch correct.
Like you hear in your voice where, like exactly how you want your voice to sound. Yeah. When you're doing your vocals in the booth, do you do a lot of takes or is it just?
Well, see now, you know, brother getting older.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like it's not like it used to be where I just go in there and one take.
Back in
the day, I did like 100 bars in one take. Those people were there to see.
100 bars was one take.
It was one take, and plus I did the ad libs. It was another take. The ad libs were 100 bars straight up one take. It was a couple people there. I think maybe Puncher did the track. I'm not sure. They saw it. They saw it, man. That was a regular for me. But that was back then. Now it's like you look back on things. Me and you was building before, when the appetizers and all that we was building. It's so much so many chambers that we went through. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's almost like it's mind blowing. It's emotional. Mm-hmm. Really, because it's like we're still alive, God bless, and you know what I'm saying, like we're healthy, and you know, and we plan to put some more in here before we blow up the ghost. But the thing is, when you look back at so many different, you know, avenues that we took, and we're still here, even though we were at risk at all times, and it makes you emotional to think about it. Like, how did you get here? But it's little angels like that, like Ms. Gutolf. She came for 2 years in a row. And anyone could look this up out there. I mean, this is probably, they probably drink wine after the honors band. Like when the bands come and they battle it out.
Yeah.
They didn't use that word. Pretty much they just go and they play their compositions. And it's a composition that's chosen by the committee. And it's called Honors Band. This is in the 80s. And I remember, like, you know, Ms. Gutolf, we went, and the school bus, you know, two busloads of students, we out there, we all got our joints. And I used to love my bass clarinet because, you know, it's like bazooka.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like yeah, it's got the bazooka toolbox.
With this joint.
Yeah, I got the AT4 on me. I got the straight up RPG. So I enjoyed having that, you know what I'm saying? And kind of like, you know, I'm over projecting, you know, I wear size 12s and everything. So I want the big boy. Yeah, I didn't want the clarinet, you know? Yeah. And so for 2 years in a row, I mean, doing it 1 year is an accomplishment, right? A lifetime achievement. But 2 years in a row in honors band in eighth grade, because it was an intermediate school, Ebrook Lee, we got straight ones. Straight ones means the scoring system. So if you got a 4, that's not as good as a 3, which is not as good as a 2, which is not as good as a 1. We got straight ones for everything. Timing, octave, pitch correction, playing as an adhesive group, a cohesive group.
Yeah.
And then of course the conductor and following the conductor's commands, because you know she's doing this. You know they doing that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like it was yesterday.
Yo, so when they be doing this, you know what they're gonna do. You already know what they're gonna do. Or it's like
she looking at you.
I've always wondered this, right? So when they doing that, does it really help? Or
absolutely.
Like,
what they are is it's synonymous to or analogous to a jockey on a horse. The horse knows, you know, between the hand movements, the way that they're in the saddle. And in the way that they got that whip on them.
Yeah.
Either way, the horse knows what to do. You know, horses are intelligent animals. Very intelligent. Even dolphins.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So, Ms. Gutolf, you know, when they're doing that, it's like there, and then they give you that look, and you can tell if it's a look like, okay, you better stay doing it like that. Oh, after this, me and you are gonna have a talk. Like, it's like the look, in addition to doing what they're doing. It's so, but remember, you have to also be, you have to also receive that energy, and then be willing to you know what I mean, like to impress. To impress the conductor, like doing it for the conductor. We're not doing it for ourselves. Right. We don't even know what the point of all this is to get straight ones, but we know that it makes Ms. Gutov happy.
Right.
And Ms. Gutov loves us so much. She brings food to class for us. She's having kitty hors d'oeuvres and stuff for us. And she was such a sweet woman. And when you think about like how the school systems are now and everything, Ms. Gutov was an angel. And do you know, like, I'm not saying this, I'm not pouring gas on, I'm not gassing nobody. Ms. Gutov went on to become the conductor for the Philharmonic. She was a Philharmonic director, Mrs. Olivia Gutov. And so that's my pedigree. That's where I come from. Like, instead of saying like, yo, I'm come from Ninja Man. I listened to Ninja Man, but I was never around Ninja. Right. You understand what I'm saying? So I gotta say, in terms of who I was around and how my rhythm started, it was Gutov, you know what I'm saying?
And it's at an age where it's like you really creating that foundation of ideas, getting into what type. So, like, where did the wordplay and subject matter come in? Because that's...
Yeah, like, it's two different chambers,
You goddamn eggplants, y'all getting me vexed, man, cause I'm surrounded by garbage like Fred Sanf and I can't seem to get away from it. I dreamt that I stabbed Leviathan through the stomach and ate from it. In my past life I slayed hundreds, and the life before that I played trumpets to warn you that I was coming. It's 1 billion ways to die and I've already tried 900,999,000,999. When I aim a fire my rhymes like 100 cannonballs flying, striking you one at a time in the parallel line. Why the art of MCing is steady dying, cannabis and journalists are still in their prime, yo.
After we're building with you though, like your vocabulary, right? You have a vocabulary that's excessive. I could tell you traveled, well read,
right?
But it's not something that you employed because it was a part of your career path. You also enjoyed those things coming up as a youth, right? Mm-hmm. So like, you know, my brother always used to like Howard the Duck, right?
Yeah.
So you know, come on, watch Howard the Duck. That's when it was playing, you know, back in Jamaica, you got the dish. So you got like Galaxy 1, Galaxy 2. The movie played like 2 times a day.
Yeah.
Every day. So,
bro, I remember Rambo. I was in there like 92, right? Yeah. I remember Ghostbusters came on. Yeah, he got so hyped. That was that era.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm sorry.
Nah, it's what you said. Like, those films, science fiction films, right? Now, you had like the Bruce Lee, the Clint Eastwood, the Rambo.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Victory with Sylvester Stallone, you know, Stallone's like my favorite name in the world, right?
Yeah.
And so you had these movies, these films come to Jamaica when, like, my father came home from a cricket tour and brought home a Betamax VCR player early in Jamaica when it was like nobody had one, right? So when he came in with that, it was like, and then he had these literally, they didn't call them blue movies because of what they called blue movies later, but the tape was blue. And it was movies, man, like Clint Eastwood, Fistful of Dollars, Dirty Harry, Good, Bad, and the Ugly, like, because these were the movies that were out at the time, the Bruce Lee, the Enter the Dragon, like, you know, like I said, like the Rambo, like Sylvester Stallone had the films, and then you had like even later on, like with Action Jackson, like all there was so many for Carl Weathers. He's one of my favorite actors. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Who got like X amount of films. Yep. I was like almost, I did like kind of get choked up when I saw The Mandalorian. I was so happy that he got that role, you know, because it's like to see his face on screen after all the years. Man, I called my brother, I was like, yo, you seen him?
Yeah,
it's a big deal, right?
Facts.
Because, you know what I'm saying? So, in general, like, we watch Ghostbusters, and you watch like Howard the Duck, or watch like The Golden Child. That was another one that was out.
Oh, hell yeah. Golden Child my shit.
Yeah, and you know, you look at it, and where Eddie's like, I didn't want to deny it. Like, that was hip hop, and but people, it was for us.
Yeah, it was for us.
You know what I'm saying? So even though all that was going on, there were things in the movie, like, let's say, Howard the Duck, where there was time travel, it was like that. And Ghostbusters got the ectoplasm and the electricity. But there were things that, even in these films that were created to have comedic, you know, like, have comedy in it, there was science involved.
Yeah.
And whatever I didn't understand with the words in there, even as a youth, I would go and find out what that means.
But that's what, yo, where, yo, Beijing, your dad Jamaica, right? Yo, so first off, y'all know this shit's gonna be a little extra Jamaican, cause yo, Beijing, your dad with a yard man, but like, with like the internet, like now information's at your fingertips, but like, where did you learn all this shit from?
You had a choice, you know it, God. You had a choice, right? Like, where y'all gonna do? Y'all gonna go up on the road?
Yeah, get in
trouble. Like, road is there, and you can get on a road, but when you go that road, that's a gift too.
Yeah.
Everybody ain't gonna go out on a road and make it. Mm. You know what I mean? Sometime on their road, and you know it, God. There's only a couple triple OGs that come up, and you be like, man, I'm on their road from time. You know what I'm saying? And now. Now you got social media to let you know, yo, I'm on the road right now. But a lot of them dons, the dons, mm-hmm. when we see them, they already did what they did, like a super cap.
Yeah.
I remember when I did the Barclays or whatever, it was like, it was super cat, it was his homeboy that was in the green room. Mm-hmm. And he said like, yo, cap me out of the yard right now. I said, ooh, it's a super cat. I said, you're a liar, tell me. It's a super cat. Like, I never been around super cat before.
Yeah.
But we already know. Super cat, a bad boy from, bad man from time.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know that even though he's a musician and an entertainer, that was real.
Yeah,
right?
Facts.
So
there's a reason he got dipped.
It was real.
There's a reason you ain't hear no more music from him in the US for a little bit.
Yeah. So, and that's the story. Our entire culture is threaded with that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I knew from young, if I want to do a music thing, it's like I was almost forced into it because of my interests.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I wanted to know, like, all right, Bruce Lee, you know, he picking what, you know, Han trying to pick what hand he want to use because he want to cut Bruce up different ways. He want to give him 1,000 cuts. He want to kill him with 1,000 cuts. So he got the hook. You know what I mean? So I was on that side of the fence with it. That's why even when Wu-Tang came out and with all the different styles.
We grew up
and watched it. Like, oh, that style? Like, oh, that's the style you going into the cage with? So that element was always there in hip-hop, even from the very beginning.
Facts.
Reggae music, not so much. Reggae music was a vibe thing. Mm. But then when like Slick Rick and Dougie Fresh goes, six minutes, Dougie Fresh, you're on. Yeah. And then you say, don't cry, and he rhyming and stuff, and he got the little British edge to it. We knew that it was comedy to it, rap, some feel-good stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And like Cold Crush Brothers, you know what I'm saying? Grandmaster Caz and stuff. But then they started spitting. And when they started spitting, that's when it was like, oh, yo, I'm liking this, because now it's not just feel good and vibe, because I wasn't a road man. So I didn't go drink no Red Stripe and couldn't even really drink them dear them young, you know what I'm saying? And then you end up kind of falling into, like, I guess what they would call like the nerd side of things.
But how
can you have a nerd Jamaican though? Like, we're in a choke like any minute, you know what I'm saying? Like, Mongo Dog, we used to lean on, pick up a rock stone for a Mongo Dog, you know what I'm saying? I got my uniform on, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, I would say that, you know, now everyone's gifted with the reach to go out there and they're exposed or it's accessible. Intelligentsia, knowledge, wisdom, power, you know, it's all accessible to everyone who can pick up and type some words in a search engine, right?
Mm-hmm.
At that time, back in the 70s and the 80s, I would say that it wasn't a gift. We weren't gifted that. You had to seek that out.
Right.
And so through jumping rope that way to get to stuff, reading books, like you're sitting there like, who want to read a book? Everybody outside playing, you know what I'm saying? They're trying to go to the pool because you can only go so many times during the day, or you, if someone to get a pass, and you know what I mean? It's like, you know, it just seems like I said, let me invest even then in up here, what's going on up here. Let me invest first in that and understand more of what there is out there to offer and what there is out there to dream and imagine. Like, I kind of found myself trying to dream about more. So in order to dream about more, I had to take in more.
Right.
And that's how it all turned in, because really the lyrics was just dreams. The lyrics was dreams. When in the beginning, the lyrics is just dreams. When it got to where, you know, you get around and just testosterone, and we all got testosterone and our hormones, and they bouncing off the walls and shit like that, and we just start to go through puberty and everything, then they get aggressive.
Yeah.
I lived in Broward County when bad boys, what you going to do? Yeah. I lived in Broward County when that came out. It was the first sitcom, really, or first reality show. When they was chasing us through the...
There was no reality show. It was none. Cops.
Yo, and I, come on, dogs. Yo, they're not awesome. I'm saying,
they need to bring cops back, bro. They got some shit outside now.
I know. But when we saw it for the first time, it's like, yo, check out that run through the bush. Because remember, they got the canines chasing them. Yo, it was crazy because you're sitting in the house like this and grandma like, I'm the 21, go outside. Where you going? Go back inside because we just watched. Like, remember, they had the camera attached to him. It was the first time they had a camera.
That shit was...
And the canines was chasing them over the gate, jumping the gate. Dudes be breaking ass and shit. So it was like, you know what? Let me just sit up here and write these rhymes, that's easy to do. You know, and I mean, it was brutal, man. Like, flea market, swap shops. Like, brothers was getting found in the little intercoastal water, like you know, when minnows eating their eyes out down in South Florida, you know what I'm saying? The gators got them, like, you know what I mean? All kind of things was happening, so it was like, I kind of chose to mess with the elements, you know, the beatboxing, the breakdancing. I didn't really get into the turntable thing because I used to use grandma's, she used to play her gospel records on there.
Couldn't really scratch on them, Joe.
Couldn't scratch on them, Joe.
I tried, though.
Yeah. I used to tape over her Robert Tilton tapes, her Jim Baker tapes. I used to put, like, little tissue in the thing. And tape would get beaten. Facts. Beaten, man. Pure beaten. That's another thing, too. How much beaten did we get, man? See, so after a while, you start to see that. It was almost like we were honed to do this. We were drawn to it. We didn't know we would have been waiting here.
Right.
And throughout it all, we were able to get here. But I give thanks to the elders that, you know, while they were patient and tolerant with us, they still didn't spare the rod. You know what I'm saying? Because they disciplined us so the world didn't have to. And then we were able to be creative, and we were able to be thinkers and be cerebral. And, you know, you're the wolf of wine now, G.
And you're right, it's out of struggle. See, it's an interesting perspective that you have because a lot of people don't appreciate struggle.
Right.
And for what it pushed you to. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that said, what was your lyrical struggles like? Like, so, I don't know. Mm. You want some God shit, so maybe you started out nice. But I did not. So, can you tell me about, like, the evolution of your talent and like when you realize like, oh shit, I'm fucking nasty. I'm chewing motherfuckers out.
Right. So now you know you got Rakim, right? You got G-Rap. Mm. You got Kane, right?
G-Rap was like the first boss bit of
G-Rap was retarded with it, right? And your G-Rap's breath control is where it was at. And G-Rap used to stay on the same multis. The same that you know the syllables is coming, but he's staying with the same scheme and the same pattern. He wouldn't leave that pattern alone. He could take that whole pattern and go through 50 bars with it. Yeah. G-Rap could do 100 bars with the same pattern.
Yeah.
Right? And barely miss a beat, like, at all.
Right?
And, you know, that's what's crazy, because he was doing that back then. Like, it was no punch in, punch out, do all that. He was
the
doing
way
it, like,
he structured his bars.
Yeah, nah, it was
like, yo, when a fight, lot. I put out more lights than Con Edison. Niggas wasn't rapping like that at that time.
And he took it easy on that track.
Tell us where the men go. We snatched up by his hands and feet and threw him out the window. Up, 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 in the wake of God. Take that with you on the way down.
So here we go again, right? It's a lot of physics involved in what he's saying, because G-Rap used to say stuff that you couldn't really do physically, but he would say it.
You know what I'm saying?
And but that goes to show there's a creator there, there's an inventor there, there's a discoverer there. You know what I'm saying? Craig G was another one. You know what I'm saying? Of course, like Thurston Howell, he was out back then. He brought Spanglish. Mm-hmm. Like Spanglish, like rapping Spanish and rap. That's the way before like reggaeton or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he gives the credit to somebody else, but Thurston, Victor gives the credit to somebody else, but I give the credit to him. But in general, all of the MCs that, you know, that you from my era, the ones that we respect the most for lyricism, if you think about it, those lyrics still stand today.
Facts.
because they were scientists. They were creating. They weren't just trying to do the vibe, feel good shit. You know what I'm saying? And I respect that music. It stands tantamount, paramount to me in my mind as, you know, the foundation to me, because the record labels, they weren't trying to do all of the jiggy stuff yet.
Yeah.
But they take it if they could get it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm trying to say? But the thing is, to stand your own and still had the deal from them, you still got the ink. Mm-hmm. You have to sign the signature page, and you ended up putting music out, and they would let you get a second and a third album,
maybe even
a fourth album that we went in the stores and bought as youngins, and they was still rhyming signs. They was teaching us. Some of us didn't have our fathers in the home with us. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Some of us, you know, was really just raised by women. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, even uncle this, uncle that, he didn't rap. He probably did something else.
Yeah.
So it was, our era was a rough era that way, where it was like, you really had to end up getting around your homies that did it.
Yeah.
That's how you did it. And, you know, it kept us out of a lot of trouble, really, because we were being creative. So we were using all our creative energy to make music instead of creative in graft or grift. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a shame that there was no way to really make no bread with it back then. Because had that have been the case, there would have been more of this kind of music that we make.
Facts.
But you know, obviously, man, like, quick money is always the most early, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you know, and then, you know, when you live as long as we do, and you making the music, and you're in commerce, and you're in the most sophisticated kind of commerce, and you come to find out that it still trickles, like it's not. You see what I'm saying? Like, you're talking about old money, and you'll always be new money, no matter what. No matter what, you'll always be new money, and you know, we okay with that. But the thing is, there are lessons and experiences that come with that, you know, where it's like, you know, it takes a long time to learn it, because you like, you know, you almost didn't see no sense in it when you were of a certain age, but then when you would come of age, you're like, oh, that's why he did it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
That was my approach to rap. And I took after the guys that I sat there and I would listen to back to back on that radio or that cassette tape. Like, so if I'm listening to Ra, Kane, G-Rap, you know what I'm saying? Like,
it's like back to back. Culmination of all of that.
Yeah.
Birth cannabis.
Yeah.
Now, like, so when did you realize, like, I'm bodying niggas, though? Like, because your talent wasn't, it was so different from everything else at that time. Like, bro, I watched you in a motherfucking cypher with DMX, Big Pun, Mos Def. John Forte. Who else was there? I feel like somebody else
Geronimo.
Was there. Mike Geronimo.
Yeah,
and MC. Just, yo, nah, I'm last, y'all niggas, because y'all,
niggas. It was around the table. We was around
niggas
the table.
Niggas say, yeah, I'm last. I earned that.
Yo, straight up and down. Yo, I don't want to play niggas or nothing like that. I'm definitely not trying to play
Do your thing, man.
Yo, let me finish, dog. I'm not trying to play niggas. But yo, I deserve the right to anchor, yo. You know what I mean?
He came first.
I deserve it right there, yo.
Okay.
So you roll up, man.
Okay.
I'm
so, alright.
Nigga Pun said yeah, X said yeah. You understand what I'm saying? Like, that's not regular, bro.
It was ignorant. It was so, like, ignorant. It was so young. It was so ignorant.
When you could get in a class of MCs like that and say, yo, I'm going last because I earned that, and niggas say yeah. Like, when did you realize that you earned that?
So, all right. You know, I gotta make the distinction. What it was during that time, I got to tell you, if you wasn't cocky,
that's a fact.
You wasn't saying
you
nothing.
Had to talk your shit.
You wasn't saying nothing. If you ain't come in there and act like, yo, y'all make some space for my balls, man. Just, all right, I'm gonna need you and you to get out. Like, if you couldn't come in there with that, you wasn't saying nothing anyway.
Yeah.
We know this, but why? Because that comes from the street life, and the whole street bravado was that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the dude come in, he got a mink on. He wearing the mink. The mink costs more than everything.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? His shorty come in with a mink on. He like, her junk costs more. You know, there's all that going on. But then it's music now, so now you can say it and make it rhyme. So there's extraness to it now.
Yeah, yeah.
So the rapper, so to speak, was like the one that could, he could take everybody's bravado and then put it into a, you know, a piece of poetry. Some people try to grab it and say, that's my poetry, but nah, you saw that happen and you knew how to make it rhyme.
Right, right.
You know, most of us have been able to do that. That's what we did, but I was ignorant at the time. You know, because a lot of the things I said, the truth about it was, I was always trying to make an impression, make an effect, not shock factor. It wasn't like I was doing shock rap, but there was science involved with it. There was stuff that, you know, superhero stuff, you know, that, you know, things that was just like, you know, you dematerializing this and you doing that stuff that we see on the screen.
On some Diesel Hercules shit, I cold flip and start to punch trees till they leafless. What the fuck?
Yeah,
what the fuck?
Yeah.
That was some other shit.
Look, a lot of that, man, it really came from wanting to. Like I said, you just want to make an impression, and it was rap, and it was so, I mean, if you think about it, we wasn't trying to impress the broads.
Facts.
But we liked the broads so
much. You just wanted to be the best rapper.
Right.
Like,
we was trying to make the niggas be like, oh, all right.
I'm going to be so nice that you going to turn into a sheep in front of your girl, and right. then she going to. Like, yeah,
with that. And even that is like, that's a hard sell, too. That's a hard sell. Cause, yo, cause the dude that probably ain't got with the rhymes like that, he probably got the bread.
Facts. You know he got the bread or the muscle. This.
Yeah,
or,
yeah, you know, he got traps.
How it is. Yep.
He got traps. He like, you know, we 15, he got traps. It's like, you know, so these are the things that is
how
like,
a lot of niggas be skating through, though. Niggas don't be that nice, they just be tough.
Right, they just tough. So they get to be there, and then when they, every now and then, when the stars align, someone come through that really put the work in. Like, I really, literally, probably wrote with my hand more rhymes. Than, I don't want to disrespect nobody.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I got 4,000 songs registered, right? Like, songs, man.
Yeah.
Not a verse here, verse there. Songs.
Like songs.
Right? You go on YouTube, the cannabis search don't stop, right? And, you know, people say that the views are throttled or whatever. You know, it's funny. Somebody be like, well, you only got 6,000 views. Yeah, well, add them all up. If you want to be, if you want to be like that, add them all up.
Do your math.
Yeah, add them all up. But that's like, that's a lot of writing. That's a lot of writing. You know, thankfully, you know, due to the confluence of Moore's Law, you know, the computer, influence of Moore's Law, I was able to start typing it instead of writing it. You know, that's, I really did have carpal tunnel. I really did.
In the wrist bones from gripping microphones this long?
Yeah. Nah, I threw that in there. Yeah.
Look at all the stages I've been on, all the songs that I spit on. I took an oath to rip everything I get on. A nigga like me should have carpal tunnel syndromes in the wrist bones from gripping microphones this long. I'm just a small fish in the big pond that gets pissed off whenever I get picked on. Nigga try to flip and get flipped on. My army multi-million strong like the Nation of Islam with Sway Tim's on.
For real? Like, I really... Because it was... It
Yo,
was,
I learned what carpal tunnel syndrome is just because of that fucking line.
I had it.
Yo, that's crazy.
But I do wanna always pay respect to the elders, because like I said, you sit there listening to them go for broke on them records back to back. You know, either you're gonna be a hater, right? Or you're gonna get in there and chop it up and try. And, you know... You know, impression, when you're malleable, when you're young and your mind is malleable, your spirit is, is like, it can be formed like clay, right? Like your mind. And it's like, not many things do that anymore. You know what I'm saying? There's not many things, because I remember those feelings where it's like somebody just say, yo, they wear, like, you want to go see the performance, not because you're a fan and you want to see them physically in the flesh. You just want to see the person that wrote, that said those rhymes.
Yeah.
So
it's like, oh shit, this motherfucker's human.
Yeah.
Like the wolves.
And I always want to give it up to the elders, because the power that I, the respect that I saw Rakim command from just people that was, you know, all the way across the globe listening to it, or Kane or G-Rap or what have you. I gotta tell you, like, I looked at it and I said, man, like, what does it feel like? love you because of what you said, man. And looking at you as some type of spiritual guy. But he's a man.
Yeah.
But no, he's a deep brother. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Elder, but at the same time, in general, and that goes for the whole of hip hop. Because, you know, Busta Rhymes get busy. He was talking that shit. And you know, everybody can't be Busta. There's only one Busta. Mm-hmm. But then when it came to the science of things, like, you sit down and put your thoughts together, like that rhyme you were spitting for me just now.
Yeah.
With the joint, and you got a little niche there.
Yeah.
You, that's your own lane.
Facts.
But you had the lyrics in there, the lyricism, and I know that's carrying on. That's a long 100%. Line. That's a long line of genome right there. That's going back to the 80s.
100%. 100%. 100%. Like, it's just funny, man. Like, when Complex Rhymes, Complex Wines. That's what we call this show because, like I said, I really feel like if there is an example for Complex Rhymes, like, listen to a Cannabis album. You know what I'm saying? But when we talk about these different elements, complexity, metaphor, wordplay, vocabulary, flow, like, bringing all of these things and having them work together.
Right.
That's like, you can be good at one of those things. You can have a bunch of dope metaphors. You know what I'm saying? It's going down, basement. Like, and just say a line of metaphors. But are you able to connect those metaphors, right? So now that's a different layer of complexity. Are you able to make that one metaphor mean four different things, right? Now you got like quadruple entendre.
Right.
Like, there's like a lot of different acrobatics and tricks that you could do with this combination of things, and that's what complexity in lyricism is, you know, and complexity in wine is the exact same way. So you have, even just like, you think about the way that you taste things. People don't think about how important their nose is and the sense of smell is to how you taste things. You ever know, sometimes you can smell something and kind of
taste it. Absolutely.
You know, ears, eyes, nose, throat, everything is connected. So the way, think about when you drink something, your nose is in the glass.
Yeah, your nose is.
You know what I'm saying?
right.
So what you're smelling is influencing what you're tasting. And it all, so now, that's a whole different layer of complexity. Aroma's a big part of complexity.
That's why the straw, you ain't smelling the straw. You ain't smelling what's coming
smelling
through
the straw. That's why we ain't drinking wine with the straw.
Yeah, because soda is not good for you.
Even
there's
down
no zone to soda. There's soda no, is just like,
don't get me wrong. There's different layers to like even shit
straws,
like that.
There's no zone to the straw.
Everything is purpose driven. Everything has a like life. Everything that is in your body has a specific purpose.
Right.
It's not like, oh, I could use this for this too. It's here for this.
Right.
And like, you'd be surprised, even the shape of this glass, it's big on the bottom, comes like this because it's trying to focus the aroma.
Right.
So that you can get this, it's big, it opens it up, and then it gets in concentrated. You know what I'm saying? So when I do like this, this is me getting air into the different particles of the wine. Just like if you cooling down hot coffee or something like that, it's you blowing it or spinning it because you want oxygen to hit as much pieces of the surface in there. And yes, I science man, so you know it. So you get how that all comes together. But then with aroma specifically, that's what really gives you the direct comparison on how these things flow. Cause like on your tongue, pause, you got the fucking, you know, everybody knows the different flavors, bitter, sweet, salty, umami, like different flavors in here activate different parts of your tongue.
Mm-hmm.
But some people refer to a complex wine as something that spreads out over your tongue because it's hitting all of multiple different types
you're talking
of
about
flavors.
How it's interpreted.
Exactly. And then think about the influence of what you're smelling. Now, even just smelling itself has a whole bunch of different characteristics to it. There's literally three different layers to smell, like primary, secondary, and tertiary.
Tertiary
is the third. Right. So figure your primary is like where you'd smell fruit.
Right?
Secondary.
Citrus.
Exactly.
Strong,
Or more like, smells like apples, smells like pineapples or whatever. So sometimes a wine just has a primary aroma. Simple. Drink it right now. Twist off cap. Nothing wrong with twist off cap wine. Just drink it now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? When something is made with a cork, it's made to age because it's slowly getting a little bit of oxygen and slowly changing over time
with the little minute little holes.
Exactly, like the holes you're on your nose. And now that changes it over time. So that's not even affecting the secondary aromas. The secondary aromas is what tells you how the wine was made. If it was in a steel tank or if it was aged, or if it was aged in oak, or you know, even the maceration process. So the maceration process is how they cut the skin off of a grape, and they just got the guts in there.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? So that's called. So now, even the amount of time it sits with the skin. So for example, champagne is made from like Pinot Noir grapes. You got red grapes in champagne, but the maceration process for like white champagne, they don't sit with the skins at all. So when you cut that Pinot Noir grape out, the body of that Pinot Noir grape out, it doesn't have any time with the skins. It don't get any color. But the more time it spends with the skin, the more color that it gets. So you'll get rosé, you know what I'm saying? You'll get, and you get different qualities from skin. So the secondary aromas talk about how the wine is made, and the tertiary aromas are more so, you only get that with maturity and with age. So as wine ages and gets older, and it's slowly getting that oxygen through the cork.
Mm-hmm. The fermentation process, right?
Yeah.
When is fermented before it's put into the bottle and corked?
Yes.
So,
yeah.
So once it's corked and it's put in the bottle, it's not fermenting anymore.
So interesting that you asked that, because we drink in port, right?
So, I like this one. I had it on my birthday last year. Last year I had it on my birthday, and I was like, "What kind of wine is this?" And it was like, "It's port." I said, "Port? How come I never tasted it before?" And I just been on this port thing now. Like, I know it's real sweet.
Yeah.
So it's like for diabetes and stuff. You got to be careful.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. It has some has some. Yeah, well, yeah. But like this joint right here, so
it
this
is sweet.
This is, yeah, it definitely got some sweet. And this ain't gonna give you no headache, thankfully. No. So this is a 97 vintage port, right?
You gave me a bottle of that to begin with.
Facts. Yo, listen, man, that's cannabis. 97, you gotta give him an amazing 97, because that was the year that I was introduced to your music. You know,
put it on the vessel, man. Hey, I need to. Hey, you know, now you're talking all this wine stuff. I need to have you come through, man.
Yo,
like
son,
listen.
Let me know.
You know, we about this vessel stuff, right? Like yacht club and stuff. We about this vessel stuff. Everybody growing up, I only been at it for 4 years, so I'm green, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, I ain't gonna crash your junk.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
but you be fucking with the boats.
But yeah, yeah, right. And it's, and you're talking about 50 foot or better, man. Like, we not, it ain't no small boys. Like, the little, the 20s and 30s are good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes you just like fishing size, fishing boat.
But
go
you
out,
be driving them shit, you know?
Navigate captain. You got a captain. Yeah. Now, but the thing about it is this. This goes along with all
facts.
That, but I'm not, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm, yeah, yeah.
Yo, man, we gotta get together in Miami, son. One of my mans got a crazy yacht. Food, dude, you'll fuck with him.
Salt with salt water, yeah, because you know salt water and the coastal down there.
Yeah, yeah, so, yeah.
But this goes with that because they got the wine cellar, they got the little wine, you know what I'm saying, cooler.
Mm-hmm.
And so this goes with that, but my wine cooler just got, you know what I'm saying, I don't even have a wine cooler, I got the fridge, I got the freezer.
Yeah, yeah.
I got the fridge and the freezer, but this goes with that. And it's interesting because, so tell me about the fermenting thing.
Yeah, so this is, so the dope thing about this is, like, a lot of times it'll be aged in barrel for a certain amount of time, and then they'll put it in bottles, you know. With well, first of all, this is a vintage port. So port does not claim a vintage every single year.
Okay.
Like, you'll only see certain vintages, like years that all of the producers in port agree that, like, okay, this is a vintage that we should claim. Like, they ain't trying to wipe no vintages.
Globally.
In Portugal, overall. So I'm sorry, I didn't even explain. So port is just short for Portugal.
Wow.
Right? And Porto is a town in Portugal where a lot of, so basically they would make the wine and put the shit in barrels and send them to these, what do they call them? A shipping lodge, right? And they would keep it there to age and then bottle it when it was time.
Okay.
Now, they with port, they began to put a neutral spirit or brandy in the wine so that it lasted the journey. This is like a sailor's wine. A lot of British sailors used to pass through. So this is what they would do to keep the wine over the course of the journey. Otherwise, it would die.
And
so,
port on the vessel is, you know, starboard.
Yeah, yeah, port. Exactly.
Yeah, so yeah, it's like, so I'm just sitting there. So they, but, they stocked them on that side, or yeah.
So it was so Porto is a town in Portugal.
Okay,
and
Porto,
that was where they would
you.
Save, they would hold all the wines
to
age.
A waste,
so then they would bottle them like later. So for example, this was bottled in 99.
But yo, this is 97.
Facts. Yeah, this was the great.
Hey, yo, this is when it started. Like, this is, you know what I'm saying? Facts. This is when it started. Yep. I mean, a lot happened so, in 97 that year. This was bottled. You know, 1 year after I was signed on Universal, September 8th, 1996. And then, of course, you know,
probably 97. Around the time when they was picking these grapes.
Yeah, that's when they was picking.
Right around there, picking these grapes.
Like, this is, I've always found, like, it's overwhelming. Mm. You very versed with it, well versed, you're comfortable.
Facts. With, yeah.
You know what I mean? You can, and you have, it's immeasurable, really, like what you know about all of this. It's immeasurable. There's no way to quantify it, right? Now, I've always found it where it's like, you know, it's another world. And even when you got here and you're speaking to them and they were asking you some questions, and when you get to it, it's like you're speaking another language. And I find it as deep, man, because this has been around me the entire time. It's just everybody can't jump rope in that. You know, when we just do music, when we go out, what you order, we tell someone
facts.
Who you are and what you've been exposed
100%.
To. That much I've picked up on.
Yep,
so if I had it, I'd just be like, yeah, Louis the 13th. Because
yeah.
Like, but that's hood though. It's ghetto to just on Louis the 13th because it costs it, but you don't know what goes along with making it. So it's like,
yeah.
You know, and Louis the 13th is not wine.
Yeah,
wine is a whole nother
it's
thing.
A whole different. Yeah. And it's ill. There's so many layers.
One
to
of
it,
a kind,
man.
Or worse.
I appreciate it, bro. Like, yo, honestly, man, I'm just trying to, like, I know where I came from. You know what I'm saying? And similar to your point, what you're saying, I know what wine did for me. And a lot of the, like, I've been on trains and fucking in Italy, linked up with motherfucking billionaires from Geneva because niggas hear me talking about Ekemba. I'm like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's where all the money from. Basel, Switzerland.
Exactly.
That's where all the money
from. So I'm just like, yo, and it's because of wine.